From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Mark Stein is not buying that Nikola Vucevic does not have a trademark. It kind of echoing some things that I said previously. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, Dalen Terry is working with Peter Patton in the offseason, which, hey, even though Peter Patton isn't officially hired by the Bulls anymore, I love that Dalen Terry is working with him. And NBA GMs are polled, and it seems like there's a consensus that Josh Giddey does deserve to get paid. But how much? We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And we're going to start off talking about Mark Stein. Mark Stein was on CHGO Bulls, and he talked about Nikola Vucevic, and he said this: I can't say I'm not buying the notion that there is no market for Vooch. The importance of a big man in today's NBA is only rising after all the talk that the NBA was going away from the traditional big man. And with the season Vooch just had now entering the last year of his deal, maybe not today, but once the season unfolds between now and the deadline in February, I mean, if I were the Bulls, I would be waiting to see the kind of market that forms. Now, this is similar to what I said, and not even to toot my own horn. This is similar to what I said after the Jake Fisher kind of thing got aggregated, right? And I say it got aggregated because it's really turned into a lot of stuff that Jake Fisher did not actually say, right? And I've said this multiple times before. I was actually watching that live stream where Jake Fisher said it, in which he basically said it more so to highlight the fact that, hey, a buyout may, like, this is how unlikely it is that Vooch is traded right now, that a buyout's even more likely than that. Not to say that he's going to actually get bought out. And I think that's the thing that's been confusing and lost in aggregation, and that's perfectly fine. And this goes to things that we talk about. Like, I've said before as well, like, I do believe that if the Bulls really, really want to move Nikola Vucevic, that at the trade deadline, there's going to be a team that comes calling. I fully believe that. There's going to be a team that comes calling on Vooch, and they may need a big man. And so the Bulls would be crazy to buy out Nikola Vucevic before then. We had a voicemail on it over the weekend as well, where somebody was like, are the Bulls really going to ride into the season with just Zach Collins and Jalen Smith as their centers? I'm like, no, they're not going to. Even if this buyout thing happens, it's not going to happen to after the trade deadline. And I laid out the scenarios in which I thought that would happen. It would more so probably be one of those things where if Vooch goes to the team and asks for a buyout, maybe they'll give it then. I think that's likely with how this front office has valued relationships. But as far as just buying out Nikola Vucevic for the hell of it, it's not going to happen. And, you know, while there's no market right now for Vooch because he's an expiring big, not because he's some horrible NBA player that, you know, Bulls fans like to talk about when they hear that no team wants to trade for him. But I think it's situational, right? Like, why, as it stands right now, before the season even starts, trade and give up assets for a player? I think teams may be more likely to do that near the trade deadline. But even then, I think what this says overall is that the Bulls aren't going to get a whole lot back for Vooch. And, you know, it's just the reality of the game. I mean, he's a veteran, aging big man. And while he's still going to probably be productive for as long as he wants to play, because his game is not based on athleticism really at all, I tend to err on the side of Mark Stein there as well. I do believe that there's going to be somebody that comes calling for Nikola Vucevic at some point between now and the trade deadline. Now, that does not mean that the deal is going to be one that the Bulls see as fruitful. I told you guys before, I'm going to keep beating this drum that I still think that it's more likely the Bulls extend Nikola Vucevic if a trade's not there at the trade deadline. And then kind of at that point, do something like they did with Lonzo, right? They didn't like the deal that they got at the trade deadline for Lonzo, even though they should have. And then they went ahead and extended him with the thought process of, well, hey, listen, we got some calls on him. Clearly teams want him. Let's extend him, give him a reasonable contract, and then we'll move him in the offseason. I could completely see something similar like that happen with Nikola Vucevic at the trade deadline. And what you would be hearing is the cries and the sighs of a thousand, probably millions of Bulls fans all at the same time if that were to happen. And me, as the agent of chaos that I like to be sometimes, would do nothing but laugh at if that happened. So, you know, and not to say that I'm laughing because I agree with it or whatever, but I do understand that that is a possibility here, and I'm not going to act like it's not. I do think that it is a possibility. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Overall, it is what it is. We'll deal with it as we can deal with it, and that's all we can do at this point. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below in regards to Mark Stein, even himself saying that a buyout of Nikola Vucevic or no trade market for Nikola Vucevic, he's not buying it. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. With that said, I want to get into this poll as well that ESPN, well, not really poll, it was a clip from ESPN that came out in which they were talking about what can the Bulls do to turn around their franchise, right? And I want to talk about that for a minute. We got a Josh Giddey topic. We got a Dalen Terry topic we're going to get into. But what really needs to happen for the Bulls to turn around their franchise? Many people are going to immediately go to, and I'm sure that there are people typing right now, and I'm going to put up a poll on this. I guarantee it. The thing that most people are going to vote on is a change of ownership, even though we know that that's not likely to happen. And it goes into, and I want to be clear, there's two minds of this, right? Having an ownership group that cares more about winning than anything else is important. But I still think you need people who run the day-to-day basketball operations. For example, Matt Ishbia, I believe, cares more about winning than anything else. Now, in his version of that, he thought throwing money at that was going to be the result, and it still failed, right? And the way that that team building was done, it still failed. So while I know a lot of Bulls fans, they go to the luxury tax, even though I think this was the first time that we have the most teams not paying the luxury tax than ever before. I think you're going to get more and more of that with the second tax apron as well. More on that later, right? But you have owners that throw money at everything, and they still can't get out the damn basement. So I'm not one that I look at not paying the luxury tax as the biggest thing holding the Chicago Bulls back. I think not making smart decisions is holding the Chicago Bulls back. And I think the biggest thing with ownership, and because I don't believe the Reinsdorfs are selling the Bulls anytime soon, and I don't think you need the Reinsdorfs to sell the Bulls to necessarily make you a winning franchise. But I do think the bigger thing than not paying the luxury tax, a bigger thing than the Reinsdorfs owning the Chicago Bulls, is that this is a franchise that sometimes it values relationships more than they value winning. And that is the problem. And by relationships, I don't even mean relationships with the players. We've seen franchises value relationship with players and still build winning franchises. The Heat did that to a degree, right? But even then, like Pat Riley, he didn't re-sign Dwayne Wade. And then Dwayne Wade came here, and then he ended up bringing Dwayne Wade back, right? So like, even to that degree, it only mattered. I think the team that probably values relationships the most and was able to win over that time was probably the San Antonio Spurs. I think that in just fairness, that was probably the team that you could look at the most and say they valued relationships and they still won for decades. Last decade has been a little bit rough there, right? But that's probably the one. But the Bulls, when you look at the downfall of so many solid eras of the Bulls, for example, Tom Thibodeau, what's the thing that ruined Tom Thibodeau here? Is the fact that him in the front office stopped seeing eye to eye. They got into it, and the moment that there is any dysfunction between the front office and a head coach, they're out of here. Same thing would happen with Vinny Del Negro. Same thing happened with Scott Skiles. Jim Boylan, right? They valued that relationship, and it wasn't until the relationship changed. Keep in mind, AK and Eversley came in here, took over the team, and ownership wanted them to keep on Boylan as the head coach because of the relationship, right? I think that they have valued relationships more than anything. Now, at times that's worked. Jerry Krause, that relationship worked, but you know why it worked? Because Jerry Krause had no problem being the villain in everybody's story if it meant the team winning a championship. Now, towards the end of his run because of everything he had done here, that kind of shifted. And then all of a sudden you saw Jerry want to do it again and kind of get more of the glory out of that. But you had Krause there, Paxson, the holding on to guard Pax. And keep in mind, when Paxson was the GM, he had an amazing run. I think Tim Floyd was the president of basketball. I mean, not Tim Floyd. Jerry Krause is still the president of basketball operations through some of that. But then things started going left when Gar Forman took over as the GM. And then, again, Reinsdorf valued that relationship with Paxson. And, I think Gar could have went a left, but it took Paxson to go to ownership to say, hey, we probably should go a different route with this if we really want to kind of get this together. For then the ownership group to take action. Jerry values relationships, and probably Michael too at this point because he's running the day-to-day. And that valuing of relationships is why we see things like AK and Eversley extended despite only having one season with a winning record, right? Well, I think it was one. Then you and that relationship with Billy Donovan and that relationship with Reinsdorf there, and why you see him get, despite all teams, I mean, coaches all around him with winning records getting fired, that you then see Billy Donovan have safety in the job here, right? I personally believe there has to be a standard set. There has to be people that in an organization that realize if we don't meet this standard, we could get canned. And the Bulls, they don't have that, right? So when you talk about what could turn the Bulls around, it's not just the talent.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
On the court. Yes, if you luck into a superstar talent, that's going to turn some things around immediately, and that's going to put a Band-Aid on some things. And I've said this before. I do believe that if AK were to get a player that turned into a superstar, it would clear the path, and we'd probably see a lot of smart decisions from AK there because he'd have his pivot point to build around. But you can't just rely on that. Not like the time that it takes to get that guy, to get a superstar, you can have a franchise player and them not be a superstar. And so it's that type of thing. Until the Bulls have somebody in that organization, whether it's an owner, whether it's a GM, whether it's a president of basketball operations, that not only cares more about winning than anything, because then, like I said, Matt Ishbia cares about winning. He thought he was doing what was best for his franchise to win, to get Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker. But it didn't work out. You also have to have somebody that's smart. You have to have somebody that's willing to get creative. And you have to have a coaching staff that develops. The Bulls have failed at all three levels of that. And until you get somebody who is going to have that alignment, who values that alignment more than relationships, you need somebody that's going to say, that's going to look at Billy Donovan at some point and say, Billy, I love you. I love what we've been able to work together here, but we have to shift focus here because we got to correct the ship here and say, I love you, Billy, but we got to move on. Right. Or Jerry or Michael to sit down with AK and say, listen, I appreciate you coming in here wanting to turn this team around. It didn't happen. I love you, but we got to move on. We got to bring in some new eyes here. You have to have somebody that's willing to do that. And that's the thing that this franchise has lacked at so long and that continues to lack at, is that they don't have somebody with the intelligence, the creativeness, and the passion enough to care about winning above everything else. AK has been a GM that has valued the players and the relationships. He didn't want to move on from Lonzo when he went down. He wanted to hold on, hope that Lonzo was going to come back. And by the time he realized Lonzo ain't going to come back, and when he does come back, he's probably not going to be him. That whole group that you had of DeMar, Vooch, Caruso, even Zach LaVine, it was time now to move on from those guys. You have to have somebody who recognizes that earlier. Right. And listen, there's always going to be some of this in sports where you hold on and you say, hey, we got to let this develop over time and see how it's going to play out. As much as fans hate to hear this, it's not going to be every offseason you're going to make 15 trades just because of how last offseason went. There's going to always be, under every GM, a time period of evaluation. But the problem with that is that you got to trust the people doing the evaluation, and you have to be quick in making some decisions because you may miss your time. How much have we talked about AK missing on assets because he waited a year too late to make the trade that was in front of him, hoping for either a better one or that the player was going to change. You got to have that creative mind. You have to have all those things. So while ESPN, you know, it was a great clip. Of course, my boy Matt Peck retweeted it because you know how he feels about this franchise. It's a great question. What can the Bulls do to turn around their franchise? And at this point, with everybody locked in, we know that things aren't going to change, but they have to be better at the evaluations that they've lacked at over the last few years, and they haven't done that yet. If they can get to the place of doing that consistently, then things can start changing here. But, you know, we have to give it a chance. They got, 2-3-year extensions. But at the end of those 2 or 3 years, Michael, Jerry, who's ever running the day-to-day, Jesus, Levante, Christ, whoever it is, has to do an honest evaluation and be willing to make the tough decision that they feel is going to get the team to a place of winning. You got to value winning above all. And some of that comes down to Bulls fans as well. How many Bulls fans have damn near conniptions when you hear about a player you like being moved? Sometimes you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. We'll see what the Bulls have in store for us and if they can start getting that thing and that ship corrected. But let's move on from that. One of the things that needs to be corrected here is Dalen Terry's shot. So Dalen Terry has reportedly been working with Peter Patton in the offseason, which is really good. You know, Dalen Terry's sitting in a place where this is the last year on his rookie scale deal. As it stands right now, I have questions on if the Bulls would even tender him the qualifying offer, if I'm being 100% honest with you, right? So Dalen is in what is basically a make or break season for him and what he needs to do. And so he's going to have to try to carve out a consistent role. And much like with Patrick Williams, every year the Bulls add more forwards, it gets harder and harder for Dalen Terry to crack that rotation consistently. We added Isaac Okoro. It's going to be difficult for that. We added Noah Essanay, who at some point is going to be trying to get into that rotation. That's another one that's going to be difficult for you. So, you know, Dalen Terry right now, and I want to be clear, Dalen Terry did show more promise last year than what we saw before him. I think the change at half season, halfway through the season, he started turning into a really, you know, solid defender, getting up in the teeth of the defense, those type of things. The shooting is struggling right now. He shot 29.8% on low volume, so he's going to have to be better than that, and Peter Patton can help with that. And, you know, while Peter Patton has, was removed from his position by the Bulls, he still is somebody that you know, players can hire to work with in the offseason. And so, you know, while that relationship was there, I'm sure Dalen's worked with Peter Patton quite a bit over the last, you know, 2 years when he was running the player development department. I'm glad to hear that, you know, Dalen Terry reached out, used that relationship, and is still working on improving and increasing his game. Because if Dalen Terry can become a more consistent shooter with the pesky defense that he showed towards the end of last season, there could be a role here for Dalen Terry. Now, again, I don't know if that role is going to be tons of minutes. It doesn't look like it will be, but there could be a role here for Dalen. And we'll see if Dalen is ready for that, ready to step into that. And if he is, hey, great for Dalen. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm glad that Dalen's putting in work in this offseason. We've already talked about Io. We know Modest has been in the gym. Kobe's a gym rat. You don't even have to worry about that. You know, Kobe's in there working with Dribble Too Much and probably God knows who else, as he always does this offseason. And these Bulls need to be there. Josh Giddey's been shown working out both in Australia and over here and with his conditioning and getting stuff together. So hopefully the Bulls are ready. They hit the ground running in training camp. And then we're talking about a team that, you know, it builds off of what they did last year, and which was a surprise there towards the end of the season. And they can make that a little bit more consistent this season, because if they do, that changes the outlook, at least for me, for a little bit. If the Bulls were to start off this season, let's say through the first 25 games, the Bulls can be around 15-10. I think that changes. Hell, I'd settle for 13-12, right? Above 500, the Bulls can come out through the first 25 games above 500. I do think that, and you know, in how they play, of course, we got to see how they play. That can start showing that, hey, this team may have a little bit more than what some people are thinking, especially the odds makers with their win prediction for the Bulls. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. Last topic of the day before we get up out of here. The Athletic did a poll with 16 NBA front offices, and they talked about the restricted free agents. And we're going to focus on Josh Giddey here. According to the 16 front office executives, Giddey, as far as when it comes down to that, they have an average of $22.3 million per season on that. And that's a little bit more than what Chicago's been offering, not quite the $30 million that we heard that Giddey and his camp have wanted there. And so, you know, that could point towards, you know, maybe that's how other GMs, you know, a lot of people, especially in the comment section, have made a lot of well, nobody, no other GM in the league would give him that. Well, 16, which is over half of the GMs in the NBA, actually voted to that to be $22 million being the fair value. Now, the years on this, which is the part that we've talked about, that's the part that fluctuated. There are some that said 2 years. There were some that said three. There were some that said 4 years. So it seems like the money in years down on that is something that people are talking about. And one quote saying this, Giddey is the anomaly because he may be good enough to be a four-year player. That's what you come down to when you look at it. So while it seems like the $30 million evaluation is not something that the GMs agree with, but there are agreed over $20 million. Also, the fact that around 3 or 4 year contract for that. Now, that doesn't mean that that's necessarily what the Bulls, and I doubt the Bulls are going to look at this poll and be like, here, Giddey, you see, this is what you got out there. But, you know, I think that this does show kind of how the Giddey situation is viewed kind of league wide. And, you know, it's like I said, a little over half. So for all we know, the other 14 GMs could be like, no, we'll pay him $8 million, for all we know, right? Like, so there you go on that. But, you know, on average, and this is the average because I do think one GM in this poll did think that Giddey, could get like a $12 million contract, which is crazy enough. Yeah, one said $12.5 million per season. So there are those that still think like, hey, Josh Giddey got a lot that he needs to prove. And that's fair. But the average on that was $22.3 million, which again, is between the two offers, not directly between. It's closer to the Bulls' $20 million valuation than Josh Giddey's $30 million valuation by far. But maybe that's kind of the talks and what you kind of expect around Josh Giddey. We heard that this was going to go into August. We're a couple of days away from August. Seems like this isn't going to be stopping anytime soon. And we'll see what the future does hold for Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls. But let me know what you guys think down below on that poll with NBA executives by The Athletic. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know that down below. That's my time for today. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like we like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.